everyone. I want to thank you today for tuning in again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The will of God is powerful. God is precise in all that he does. Remember, he has to work through diligent men of God, people that will lay their life down and do his will. You know, people that will love God and walk in his way, those are the ones that the Lord can use to do mighty works. And I thank God for each and every one of them. And the Lord has a plan in place, and I thank God for it. As he reveals it, I just get more overjoyed by it. And I thank God for that. His will is for us and towards us. He loves us. And I'm glad that he does. I'm glad that he's my Father. I'm glad that he's my Savior. And I'm glad that he's my friend. I thank God for it. And the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And I thank God for that. All the times that he's helped me to understand things that I should be doing or things that I should know about. And he brings it to my attention. I think that's priceless to me. And I thank God for it. We're going to continue with our end times. We're living in the end times. And these are the days that we really need to focus on what the Lord is saying. If we, anybody that will get saved, believe by believing on Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then seeking God out to know him, not just to minister, but to learn his ways and to learn his ways, his will, to get an understanding of his word, and then to do his word. When people get to that point, or when you get to that point, God can use you to be a blessing to people. And don't worry about what you can't do. Focus more on what you can do. And as we do something, it adds up. It's just like a ministry. If you hear a ministry that you like, and that ministry is a blessing to you, send the ministry a donation. If all you can afford is $2 or $1, send it. Because if the Lord had another 100 people to do the same thing, that's $100. If he had 1,000 people to do the same thing, it's $1,000. So don't be afraid to do small things. Because small things add up to greater things. And it opens the door for the Lord to bless you. And that's just the way it is. Whatever you can do, do it. If you can be a blessing to somebody, be that blessing. If you can speak kind words to people from your heart, true kind words, speak them, because it helps. It works together to help people get to know God. We're here to represent God. And many people are distracted with the ways of the world. And I see so many children, they've never been taught the things of God. And they're going to grow up not knowing their Savior unless something happens. Used to be when children would go to school, and the teachers would lead them in prayer or lead them in scripture reading. A lot of people don't know this, but at the turn of the century, the Bible was the school book. In the 1800s, they used the Bible to study out of. And it's very, these are the things that made our country strong. This country should not have grown to the size that it is. It should never have made it this far. But it made it because a few people would trust God in every century. And many people loved God. And some people followed God. A few people actually followed him. And many people believed on him. And then there were some that caused trouble. But everybody here in America, we have ancestors that loved God. And the people that love God came in every race. And the people that caused problems came in every race as well. It's not about race, it's about people. It never was about race. And many of the people that we study about in our history lesson, they were outstanding men and women of God. But in the school books, they leave that part out. George Washington Carver talked about his relationship with God. So did Benjamin Franklin. So did Alexander Graham Bell. President George Washington. Many of the people that we love and appreciate that helped. You know, the Lord led George Washington in battle. People don't know this. He shouldn't have won. He didn't have enough men and it was too cold. But the Lord blessed the weather to be on his side. And he gave him wisdom and guided him. But they leave those things out. Because Satan don't want you to know what God can do in your life. When your back's against the wall, God is with you. But if you don't believe it, he can't help you. Now we're going to continue with the end times. Because now it's almost time for the Lord to come back. So to begin this topic, we started studying what Jesus prophesied. Jesus is not just our Savior, he's also a prophet, and he prophesied. Matthew chapter 24, he prophesied about the end times. Now we made it to verse 24. We went a little bit beyond it, but I'm going to start at 24 today and continue forward. It says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." In other words, Satan is going to do things, lying wonders and lying miracles and lying wonders to throw people off track. And he's going to be mimicking the true miracles that God is going to do. He always mimics what God does. In the past, he didn't use miracles and false prophets like he will in the future. Now, we saw it in the days of the Exodus. Janus and Jambres, they withstood Moses. And they threw their rod on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses threw his on the ground. It became a greater serpent and ate both of theirs and turned back into a rod. Now, the enemy is going to use witchcraft again. It worked in those days because that's what they did. They did witchcraft. And the Lord was with Moses. What Moses did was not witchcraft. He was operating in real miracles and real wonders from God. And Satan is going to be mimicking that in order to throw people off track. And in our lifetime, he tries to de-educate people about God. And anybody that's following God, he tries to do something to make them look worldly. In fact, some of the history books, the people I just mentioned, they'll try to act like they were in the other things other than God. The enemy will always slander people. He's an accuser. He accuses man before man. He accuses man before God. He accuses God before man. In other words, he'll try to tempt you into sin. Then he'll go tell God that, hey, he don't love you. He loved my ways. Look what he's doing. And then he'll come back and tell you that God don't even love you anymore. And that's not true. Let me say this right now. The love of God requires nothing of us. God is going to love you. No matter what you do, no matter what you've done, and no matter what you will do, his love is unchangeable. To the point that he sent his only begotten son to make a way to save you. But it won't do you any good unless you believe it. Now, a victorious life is different. Victory requires you to do what you're supposed to do. But the love of God is unchangeable. And the Lord is always willing to help you get out of your misery. But you're going to have to trust him and follow him out of it. If you won't trust him, you can't please him, because God is pleased with your life being in order, healthy, full of wisdom, full of blessing, When your life is diminishing and things are not right and you got miseries and problems, that cannot please God. I'm going to say that again. When your life is falling apart and things are going wrong and you're having misery and problems, that cannot please God. Well, what about sin, preacher? Sin is usually the start of it all. We're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So first the Lord had to do something about that. And the only way for us to receive what God has done is to believe what Jesus did. If we can believe on Jesus, that's the beginning of our victorious life. And if you get saved, if you at least get saved, you get to live forever and you can be corrected later. But he did make true provisions for you right now to live a victorious life. He even gave you victory in the name of Jesus. So if you have problems, it's up to you to go into the Word and learn what's yours. And learn about what he gave you and how to apply it. And most of the things that he gave us, we apply it by what we speak. Because what you speak determines what happens in your life. And you're going to have to speak words of faith. The precious promises that he gave us in the Word, you're going to have to lay a claim on it and believe it. And when he gives you wisdom, you're going to have to act on it. And as you do, you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves you. And he put provisions in place just for you. But Satan tries to get you to doubt all that so that your life will be, so that your neck will be under his foot. When the full time the Lord put your foot on his neck, he gave you authority through Jesus Christ. And then if you follow God and he may anoint you to do something. When he anoints you, you have God's ability to do that thing. And you can do what a normal man cannot. So the enemy is going to be, in 24, we see how he's going to be working to deceive everybody on the earth. And it'll be so persuasive that it will even deceive God's people. Unless you know God, it will deceive you. So don't be deceived by the lies that the enemy is going to tell. Okay, continuing. Verse 25, he said, "Behold, I have told you before." Verse 26, "Wherefore, if they shall say to you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." Now, when the enemy is going to be saying Jesus is here when he's not. And then he's going to act like he's Jesus. He's going to act like the Son of God. The false prophet and the beast, they're going to be persuading people in every way against Christ. And they'll probably say that they're the Son of God or the anointed one. And they're not. Verse 26, "Wherefore, if they say to you, behold, he is in the desert, go not there, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." Because when Jesus really comes, in verse 27, it reads, "For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." In fact, when he comes, everybody on the earth will know it, because there's going to be a light so bright that everybody's going to know at the same moment that this is the Son of God. And the people that know that they're not on his side, they're going to try to hide. Verse 28, "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So I told you, when he come back, he's not coming back to save. He's coming back to fight. And the Lord's going to separate his people and take them off the earth and destroy everybody else. And he should, verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And then in verse 32 it says, now learn a parable of the fig tree, when his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all those things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. See, the Lord concealed the date and the return. Why? Because he is going to establish people who use their faith. He's not going to give you tangible evidence without faith. All the proof that God gives man requires faith. Because faith is a definer. You will be defined and redefined by your faith. If you were a sinner, or if you are a sinner and you get saved, when you believe on Jesus Christ, you're redefined. You're defined as a new man, a new creature, a child of God instead of a child of the world. Satan is not your leader anymore. He's not your father anymore. He's not your deceiver anymore. But you've been given a new life, a new spirit. Your sin nature is broken. But I don't feel like my sin nature was broken when I got saved. I just don't feel it, preacher. You don't have to feel it. I can prove it to you. The sin that you end up doing is because you're tempted into it. You don't want to do. When a man gets saved, he doesn't want to sin anymore. You can desire things as wrong, but you don't crave it the same way. The enemy has to dangle it in front of you and tempt you with it, try to get you off course. And the whole time it's aggravating to you. Because I know I was a sinner, and I would sin and think nothing of it. Then I became a Christian and I didn't want to do it anymore. I found myself, Lord, help me not do that no more. I don't really know how to do this. That's the way I used to pray. I don't know how to stop. I don't know how to quit. I don't even want to do it. But the desire was there, and it was aggravating. But the Lord taught me.
Yeah.